Somebody here who actually requested this Q&A. Who was that?
Huh?
No? Nobody's gonna cop to it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 301, Arts Theater Talkback. When we were performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged in London this summer, they had a great promotion called Kids Week, where kids got free tickets to most, if not all, of the top West End shows. And they even came to ours. As one of the activities of that week, we did a talk back after our Thursday matinee to answer questions from, it turned out, a group of people who mostly hadn't seen us before. A couple of things you should know as you listen. Yes, regular podcast listeners will have heard the reduced history of the RSC that we go through. Sorry about that. Yes, it was another quiet matinee crowd, mostly quiet because it was a typically small matinee crowd, so they hadn't reached that critical mass that allows an audience to feel confident enough to make a lot of noise. And there was an older couple in the crowd who looked exactly like Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, and who happily stuck around.
Who here has seen us before? Anybody seen the Reduced Shakespeare Company before?
Two
people. Okay.
Three.
Yes. But some newbie. Okay. And Her Highness has seen us before. That's fantastic. And Prince Philip is looking so much better. I'm so glad you're out of hospital. That's great. And you hadn't seen us before? What brought you in today?
Intrigue.
By the idea of comedy or sports or all of the above? Both. Well, I'm so glad you were part of such a raucous crowd. Do you want to give a brief reduced history of the Reduced Shakespeare Company?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Reduced Shakespeare Company, we're from California originally. We started as a busking act in California at Renaissance festivals. Yeah, and that's where our style developed, fast and funny and physical. Our first show, which actually ran in this theater 20 years ago for a year, was The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged. And it ran here for a year, and then after it went on a tour of the UK, and then it opened at the Criterion and ran there for 9.5 years with our History of America and with the Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged. So those three shows were at the Criterion for a very long time. Those were our first three shows. Since then, we've gone on to reduce Western literature, all the great books abridged, the movies completely Hollywood abridged. We reduced the Millennium. This show and our most recent show, which we haven't brought to England yet, is the Ultimate Christmas Show abridged. And so that's what we're doing.
Every winter holiday tradition, and it ends with our version of the traditional English panto,
which we think is supposed to be the story of Jesus. So the Virgin Mary is the dame, and you can imagine how it all goes.
Yeah. It's very, very tasteful.
Yeah. From here, we close here in about a week and a half. We go back to America. We do a tour of our special election edition of the History of America, featuring a Obama-Romney Q&A with the audience. And then, tour our Christmas show. So that's kind of a reduced history of the Reduced Shakespeare.
Yeah, it started as a three-man group. We wanted to write sketch shows with a theme, but also that felt like some of the old great comedy trios, comedy teams of, not Abbott and Costello, but like the Marx Brothers. The Marx Brothers or the Three Stooges or
the Bee Gees.
Or the Bee Gees, you know.
Yes.
All of the great teams.
Yes.
Do you have any questions about what you saw, what the show, things you got or you didn't get?
Yeah, what's this democracy?
Democracy. Very good question.
Yes. Well, you're talking to Americans. This could be a very long explanation. Yeah. So,
it's a constitutional democracy versus
a Bill of Rights.
A monarchy with a democracy, yes.
Freedom of speech, yeah.
Parliamentary democracy, yes.
Well, and we do that bit in the States as well. But you had another question.
The question was, how many of a troupe do you have going? Because you see different cast members over the years. So is it mainly just the three guys, or do you have another sort of set?
It's always a cast of three.
Yeah.
Austin and I were part of the original run in London in this theater 20 years ago. Matt Rippey joined us just after the Second World War as part of the Witness Protection Program. No, he's been with us since 1996, 95?
Yeah.
So, but we have a like a company of actors. So there's 12 or 15 different actors, depending on who knows what shows, depending on who's available, depending on whether their families haven't seen them for the last 6 months.
We had, when we were here, when we were at the Criterion for 9 years, there was probably, what, about 15, 20 guys in sort of constant rotation, depending on who knew the show, who knew which part. There's one guy, is it Mikey O'Connor, who's actually played all three roles?
He's the only member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company to have played all three roles in all three shows that ran at the Criterion Theater. Yeah. But then again, it's not fair because he has a photographic memory, so that's just irritating. I did it 2 years at the Criterion, but then when I left, John Schwab, who took over for me, is also a working actor, gets a lot of work on voiceovers, and so about... once every couple of weeks, I get a phone call going, Rippy, can you come down and do the show tonight? And that went on for like a year and a half. It was, so I didn't really leave. I kind of lingered. It's nice.
And then in the States, we have about 9 or 10 actors who rotate in and out. And in fact, this fall, we'll have two companies out there of the Ultimate Christmas Show. We'll be touring sort of around the country doing long weekends and then weeks. And then we'll have one more company in San Diego for a month. So... will we be bringing the Christmas show to England? Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ask the Queen.
Yes. Yes. It's up to her.
It's
up to her.
Yes. It's such a fun show. We premiered it last year.
She's
Muse. We premiered it last year at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Massachusetts. And it's, it's similar to all of our shows. You know, it's basically just using a theme, be it sports or Hollywood or Shakespeare, in this occasion, Winter Traditions, as an excuse to string together some goofy scenes and fun songs. But there's something really lovely about it. It's just got a good heart. And it's
everybody's in that spirit in the holidays, which is nice. Yeah, and all of our shows, the plot of all of our shows is always the same. It's three American or North American idiots who think they can do the entire topic in an evening. And, of course, we're too stupid to know that it's impossible. But, yes, if Father Christmas grants our wish, yes, we'll be back here any Christmas or two.
And we do it. The best thing about it is the free loot we get. We do a free Christmas swap. Yeah. So we have a tree on stage, and you bring in a present, you stick it under the tree, and you get to take one.
Yeah.
And we're up there shaking them all. This one's liquid. It's mine.
This is the biggest
one.
Used
to be a ship in a bottle.
Cool. Who else has a question about...
What do you really think of British audiences?
What do we really think of British audiences? This is going to be a very long podcast. British audiences are great. I mean, there is the joke that they don't laugh out loud; they smile out loud.
It depends on where you are. We've been touring all over this country, right? Yes. We did over the years. We've toured all over. This summer, we toured for 5 weeks, hitting Tewkesbury and York and Nottingham and everything in between.
Rill,
which was woo.
A real disaster.
But it depends on where you go. Like Tewkesbury, you would have thought that no one had let them out in a decade. They were probably. Although they have a very strong theater going crowd. They really it was sold out. Yeah. The show lasted like 2.5 hours because they were laughing. We were like, stop laughing. We gotta go. But then other towns were a little confused. Maybe didn't know what they were getting and kind of
Well, what was I going to say? Oh, in London, the audiences tend to be more international, you know, so we have people from all over. So it's even more difficult to gauge an audience response in London because people are from all over. But generally, the response here in England has been terrific because we've been performing here for so long.
Yeah, we've done very well here. I think in America, the audiences like to see a little twinkle in your eye. And in Britain, they like to see you doing something very ridiculous in a very serious way. So I think...
That says a lot about us, I think.
Yeah. Well, and Americans need to kind of be assured that it's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I've got underlined...
The British get that it's a joke.
Yeah, they get that it's a joke.
Question? Today.
Will we do this exact show in America? No, we've actually tweaked we have been touring this show for almost 2 years in America. It played the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. It went off Broadway for 3 weeks. We've toured all around the country. And it's essentially the same show, but for instance, the fantasy cricket sketch in the States is a fantasy baseball sketch. And the last line of the thing is, I was just worried you were going to mention cricket. Boom, and that's when we fall down. So we had to make those adjustments.
The rugby, not the losing the arm, but when we talk about the spirit, the heart of rugby, it's a football American football.
American
scene.
Football.
So there's those kind of tweaks, and it's in the sports quotes. You know, we have to get rid of stuff that people only know in America, so that people understand it. It's 90% the same, but yeah, there were definitely some.
We made a John Terry reference, and nobody got it. Mm. It was just terrible.
Yeah,
that was just this afternoon.
That's right. Yeah, you have a young man. Did we have any material that we cut out for this? Yes.
For this show today or for performing it?
No, we didn't cut out anything special for today.
No.
But well, maybe we should have. But what did we cut? We cut a few things.
There was a scene we had
about
with
capitalism.
It was Monday Night Football. It was American football. So, and it was
right.
the broadcast team was a sportscaster, Karl Marx, and Michael Moore, who's a movie director.
And American football is a metaphor for the capitalist society.
Right.
Well, and we also we had a bit where we in the scene about where we're all crazy about women athletes. There's a whole extended bit about I can't think of her name now. Title IX, but Patsy Mink, who was the congresswoman who wrote the legislation that enabled that led to every college in America providing athletic money for female sports.
And at equal level to
men. And equal level to men.
And this reaction, exactly what we got when we left it in the show here.
And and that was a thing, too. I mean, there's in America, there's quite a thing about college sports, you know, but that's not quite as
it just doesn't happen here. Yeah, that's the biggest difference is college sports is a huge industry in the States and virtually non-existent here. And so there was a lot of college references that just kind of had to go.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff we cut. Yes, sir. What are our three favorite sports? You want to start that?
Happy hour. No, sorry, that's not a sport. Well, for me, it is actually quite simple, and I answer it honestly at the top of the show when Reed says, no, seriously, what is your favorite sport? Mm-hmm. And it really is tennis. I did go to performing arts high school, which didn't have sports, but before I chose to go into theater, I grew up playing tennis and played tournaments up until the age of 14. And my brother became quite good and qualified for championship tournaments. I didn't. Because I liked horsing around, and I discovered theater.
Making plays.
So I quit. But I still love it. It's my favorite sport. Love to watch it.
I tend to watch college sports, mostly college football, college basketball, and some professional basketball.
And I'm probably the biggest sports nut of the group. I kind of like everything, but my very favorite is baseball. But I like everything.
Yeah, he really is as big a baseball nerd as I accused him of being a cricket nerd.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely is. And this is a conversation I've had in the past, because where he'll come back and be very excited about some baseball game that he just saw. And I went, unless it involved Vulcans and Klingons, I don't care.
Is it right that you were an umpire as well?
When I spent a year, I went to professional baseball umpiring school and spent a season as a minor league umpire.
Do you still do it?
I don't, although I did it for about, I probably started doing it in high school before I went to the umpire school, I probably did it for 10 or 15 years.
But now why did you leave umpiring for theater?
Beautiful blonde.
Well, beautiful. But also it's a lot nicer being applauded than booed.
Yes, right. Rather than being booed before you've even done anything. Yeah.
And a girl never went up to you and went like this all over your
kicked
shoes.
Dirt on your shoes.
See, that's an interesting story. Never mind.
My name's Damien Cruden. I'm Artistic Director of York Theatre Royal, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In just a couple of weeks, on September 29th, we begin our fall 2012 tour of the United States, taking the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged to Valhalla, Hamilton, and Ithaca, New York, Cranston, Rhode Island, Morristown, New Jersey, Chico and Saratoga, California, and Hilton Head, South Carolina. And then we take the ultimate Christmas show abridged to Reston, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Anchorage, Alaska, and for 3 weeks at San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to our Arts Theater Talkback, where a man had just asked us who writes the scripts.
Depends, but did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then it was all me.
That's us.
Yeah.
In terms of retaining the ownership of the script, if you like.
Austin and I have co-written every show after the first one, sometimes with a third collaborator. and more recently Without.
Just yeah. the two of us. So and as the authors, we retain the rights to the scripts and let the Redoux Shakespeare Company do it. And we usually let the Redoux Shakespeare Company do it exclusively for a handful of years before we then let it out and let other companies do it as well. Yeah.
And do you just closet yourself away with ESPN for months on end? Or cinema for
yeah, and then we go about writing the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and for me, writing the new show is always the research is always my favorite part of it, you know, because you lock yourself away and do whatever. But, I mean, for this, I didn't feel like I had to do that much research, except about, you know, the certain sports that we knew we had to cover just to make it global and universal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we did, yeah.
And I found research was best done at sports bars because they have TVs yeah. everywhere. That's right, yeah. TVs.
That was pretty easy. That was very nice.
Buffalo Wings.
Yes, sir.
Did you go to the Olympics? Did you get any tickets?
Did we get to see any of the Olympics?
Yeah. Well, we got to go on BBC London, so we got to go out to the Olympic Park, and so we didn't see an event there, but we got to go out there. My family saw archery at Lord's, but we were working. I went out on the last day and saw the marathon. They ran past about six different times because yeah. I was at a good spot.
I saw yeah. the early bike race on the first day and saw part of the marathon. But really, the flat where I'm staying has a 63-inch flat-screen TV. So I had the best view of anybody watching it on the TV.
I saw some table tennis.
Yeah, you did.
Which was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it was exciting for us, too, not only to be here in London during the Olympics, but we were here. We happened to be in London working on the Hollywood show 7 years ago on July 6, 2005, when London was awarded the Olympics. So it was, and that's when the first kind of way went, hey, wait a second, maybe we could do a show about sports. Of course, we were then there the next day, too, on 7-7, which was not quite as exciting. But it was just great to be here at the beginning and then to see it through. And you know, well done, you guys, on the Olympics. You guys did a really great job. It was well done. Yes, sir.
How much do you provide it?
How much improvising do we do, and how much do we know it by heart?
Depends what day you catch up.
Yeah.
Actually, very little of it is improvised. If some of it looks improvised, that's good. I mean, it's any good acting. It looks like you're making it up on the spot. I don't know that there was any other than snarky comments about how quiet the audience was this afternoon. I don't think anything was really.
You didn't have numbers on your side.
Yeah.
We're at a disadvantage.
Well, it's absolutely not your fault. And there's such a wide age range in the audience today, from the little kids to the queen. And so it's hard for everybody to have a unified response. So it's absolutely not your fault.
Much is improvised.
Some of it is improvised once. And then we kind of go, ooh, hey.
Could we make it look like we're improvising it every time?
Yeah.
So this show is fully scripted before we go into rehearsal. Then as we rehearse it, it changes. And then we get up in front of an audience, and it continues to change forever, although at a slower rate.
And one thing you guys didn't get to see today, because there weren't enough numbers on your side to feel strong enough to react, is that most audiences here in England really, really, really think that Matt's Scottish accent is terrible. And American audiences, they don't know. They have no idea. But most Brit audiences do think that it's really terrible. So there's usually a big laugh and breakdown.
Just when I start talking, they just laugh at me. And which is fun because it became quite clear to me one night. I guess we were touring around, and I looked out with that look of, why are you laughing at me? What's the matter with you people? And basically, whatever we improvised that night between the three of us, we kind of recreated and kept that. And it usually involves just going, shut up, I'm doing the best I can. And
so
I'm from a little-known place in Scotland called Texas, so shut up.
Yeah, you didn't get to see that because you were way too polite about all of our Scottish accents.
You're just quietly going, wow, does he suck?
Anything
else?
One more? Any others?
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
Why don't we have a woman in our team?
We were asking this.
Is that okay?
Yeah. We were wondering why there were no men in the Supremes.
Yeah, no men in the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
There's just.
It's the way. Actually, when the company started way back in California, there were three guys and a gal, and they were doing a short version of Hamlet. And the woman broke her ankle in the second or third week, and they were going to cancel. But somebody had been watching the show and said, "Well, I can step in and do it." And it was great. Well, a friend of mine's been watching the show. Stepping in, great. What's her name? He said, "Well, that's the thing. We're going to need a wig," and it was Adam. And he was funny in drag. And so we found out that drag is funny. And there we
yes, but if it makes you feel better, every other person behind the scenes, well, except for Davey, ignore him, but every other person behind
depends
the scenes in our office are, yes. they are all of the women variety.
Yes, the brains are female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just the lungs.
Dare not call us the bronze.
And we get emails all the time from girl companies saying, I think there's a team in Texas that said, we're a theater troupe and we're three girls and we've licensed your play, the Shakespeare play, you know, come see us. And we said, yeah, we'll come see you, but we'll challenge you to a tug of war.
Thank you so much for coming out and for sticking around. You guys are great. Thank you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Surprisingly, although there were kids at the talkback, there were very few kids actually asking questions. Send us your post-show questions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Uncle Al, the kiddies' pal Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Holly Chandler. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Damian Cruton, artistic director of the York Theatre Royal, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 301 903rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
So, and I have been recording this, so chances are this will be a podcast in the next couple of weeks, so you might be able to hear yourselves and your questions and this stupid conversation again.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.